look like what's his name from that movie with the thing in it. Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Nope.
Okay.
Smashing buttons.
Sure.
Just smashing buttons.
You are.
Just smashing buttons.
Face.
Okay. Your face is a button. Kendrick's having residual work issues.
I can't seem to get away.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick, who can't seem to get away.
And Amy Reams is in the back seat. Amy Jane Reams. Social Security number 535214444.
That was your social security number.
Damn it.
Done good.
Good thing nobody knows my middle name is Parker.
Damn it. Did you really? Do you want me to blur that out now?
No. Okay. It wasn't my social security number.
It sure sounded like your social security number.
It was not.
Oh, I have to check my notes.
The guy who, put it on billboards and then got his identity stolen. I got it, babe. Sometimes.
Isn't that what he's. Wait, why did he do that?
Because he was he works for LockSafe or some.
Oh, so he's like, here's my social security number. Have at, ye foul beasts.
Yeah, he's like, we're so secure that I can just give out my social security number.
And then what happened?
Seven people stole it.
Seven people?
At least, before they, locked it down more.
I mean,
if
you... Bold move, Cotton.
He's probably, the CEO, and, he's like, I believe in my product. And then he's like, shit. I used to bankroll this company.
Fact.
Fucking shit. Now you're reading on your fucking watch, okay?
Yes, I know.
Will you cut this out? This is dangerous.
I'm done. I'll be done. Okay, I don't know why this thing is why it's failing.
Oh, God.
God, that's way worse.
Jesus.
That's way worse. Kyle, you're not helping.
I don't know what just happened.
You just exacerbated whatever the problem was.
Oh, no,
was.
It's kind of better now.
What are you...
I don't know.
Why did you have that turn signal on to go that way?
Everything's going wrong. It's a Sitsaw Cataclysm!
I think that would have ended an explosion.
A Sitsaw Cataclysm. Well, there'll be an explosion. Don't worry. Did you figure out how to unfuck it?
Crash the car into it.
Yeah, look. Now it doesn't move.
Is it cool.
Jang the wheel around. Test it out. See, look. It's fine. I know what you fuckers were talking about.
Everything's fine. We're all fine. Why did I follow your instructions?
I just finished reading or listening to Ready Player One, which has a movie coming out soon. Or maybe already out. I don't know how far behind we are. Date your podcast friends.
Date your friends? What?
I liked it a lot. So Kate and I talked about it, and she said that she got kind of fed up with the, hey, have you heard about the 80s, reference stuff that was in the beginning? So... The book kind of takes place in 2045 or something like that.
Okay.
In the future, but not, anymore. It was written in 2011. It takes place in the future where, this game called The Oasis exists and everybody's in it. And originally it was just an MMO that was a VR MMO.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody started using it for everything. And so it immediately, in the world, started going to shit. So, people started doing everything inside of The Oasis, strip clubs and... even meetings and doing business stuff. So the Oasis became this new medium for doing everything online, right? And the creators did some legal ease stuff to make sure that everybody's rights were protected and nobody could get anything. And apparently it never gets hacked somehow. I don't really understand that. But everybody's on there. And so it kind of goes through this the story and venture of how one of the main character ends up finding this Easter egg that the creator of the Oasis left after he died. And so it's kind of a cool story about that. And it's a really cool adventure if you like those kind of Lord of the Rings style adventure books.
Okay.
But the creator of the Oasis was born in the 80s and he loves video games and all that kind of nostalgia crap and anime.
Born in the 80s?
He was born in probably in the 70s and grew up in the 80s. And so he's all into, old video games and comic books and anime and TV shows and 80s music, right? So that kind of generation. So all of that stuff's in the Oasis and it's all part of this quest because the people who are looking for the Easter egg and the main character are all these kind of hunters of the Easter egg. And they all have to know all this 80s stuff to get through the challenges that are involved in finding this guy's Easter egg. And it's this real big deal because you get billions of dollars and stuff like that if you find it. So there is a ton of 80s stuff at the beginning, because it's all about that. Like, it's literally the vehicle through which the adventure is done, is through these, like, random 80s trivia and all this kind of stuff. And the people that are in the book, that it's the focal point of the book, the characters, are all people who have to know all this stuff and love it because they're trying to find the Easter egg. So it's a little bit, like, in your face. What I liked it a lot. If you ever have a chance to read it, it's a great movie. We'll see if it's, you know, good or whatever. I'm sure it's going to be good in its own right. But the thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, have you ever had something that was spoiled for you, an experience, because it had too much of the thing that was making it kind of cool? Like, in the sense of, this story was one where I could definitely see someone getting fed up with the amount of just, hey, this is in the 80s, we have to put it in, and we have to make sure every five lines we have a reference to something that was in the 80s. And another example was, in the Star Wars Aftermath book, the first series of that book, they throw in stuff all the time to just make sure they're checking these boxes for people who like Star Wars, like the old Star Wars movies. They mention Ewoks, they mention Chewie, they mention Han Solo, like, they mention the planet and the Millennium Falcon. Like, it's like a fucking treasure hunt of Star Wars stuff, right? So have you ever had an experience that was kind of, like, made you feel like it was less special just because they overdid it?
I'm trying to think of one. I'd say yeah. That sounds like something I would have experienced.
Amy, have you ever had that happen?
I was looking at Spanish.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Had an experience happen where it was overdone and then less magical?
Yeah, like the amount of nostalgia or references put into the thing you're doing was just too much to let you enjoy it. It's like kind of pandering. I guess is the way I think about it.
Would Christmas count?
Maybe. I mean, that's kind of the point.
It's all the same things overdone to, like, try and invoke the nostalgia, but, like, I don't feel it anymore because it's, like, I've done all the same things, and so, like, to get that magic feeling is very hard to do.
Okay.
That's the closest thing that I can think
of. Then now you're surrounded by things that reference it, right? Like, everywhere you go, there's Christmas trees and wreaths and cookies and all that shit.
And there's, like, Christmas... There's, like, theme parks that are only Christmas-themed all year long. So you're like, wow, that's
way,
like,
too much.
Yeah, okay.
I get it. I feel like there's been some series I read or... Oh, okay, I mean... Some anime can get that way, I think, sometimes. Okay. Where you're like, well, here's our thing. We're about fighting, like Dragon Ball or
Dragon Ball's about waiting, like that, right?
Where it's like, I get it. The fighting. Oh, now he's even more powerful. Okay, now he's even more powerful. Who cares anymore? Who cares? So I guess in that sense, yeah, there's those sorts of things where you're there for the fighting, but then after a while, you're like, okay. Enough of the fighting.
Or like... I think maybe another good example of this is kind of Dresden Files, where his idiocy is sometimes endearing, but then you get times where you're like, holy shit, dude, like,
stop it.
What the fuck are you doing? And you say that to yourself in your head, and
I say it to him,
like,
out loud.
Ah. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, with him, yeah, but in the sense of, like, these things that we still do, like, what makes you decide to keep going with it? Because some people stop and some people keep going.
I don't think there's ever been enough for it to make me stop.
Okay.
Because it is originally something I did want, right, in most contexts.
Yeah, okay.
Like, in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, there's another good example. Like, just gratuitously killing people because they can. And it's like,
and that's part of what we like about it, is that named characters may die at any moment. Now, that's really
Or the Cersei masturbation that I got really butthurt about. You know, you remember that? Like, where they just, like, the first few episodes of last season, they're just, like, I just felt like they made Cersei this character that could never be undone. Like, she was just the cream of the crop. She could never be outsmarted. Everybody was not as good as Cersei, and
I just
got really frustrated.
Yeah. Well, but that's part of what made her into such a great villain, right? So, and then everything that happened with her. But I guess Joffrey, like that, the same way, like, Joffrey's bad, blah, blah, blah. I gotta turn off my fucking wrist.
I'm turning them off
because it's not even work. It's like everybody's messaging me right now, and it's like I can't deal with any of this right now.
That's one of those things. You now the coolness of having your watch tell you what messages are coming is like
even just any notifications on a mobile platform. You know how cool that was that people could ping you and you could like hear it answer right away. I mean, text messages back in the day. How cool was that?
Yeah.
You didn't have to be at your computer.
My dad worked for a company that had one of the first flip-up keyboard pagers, and you could do, like, an IM kind of thing with net pages, mm-hmm. where, like, you'd page back and forth, but it was still IM, but you could do it from a mobile device. It was super cool, but, yeah, nowadays it's like you're turning notifications off.
Yeah, because it's too much.
Super bad accident there. You better slow down and look at it.
I think it's mostly Wadsworth up here.
The twofer.
Yeah, the twofer. I'm trying to think, I guess in Game of Thrones, dragons, maybe? You know, we spent the first whole season waiting for dragons, and the second whole season watching small cat-sized dragons, and the third season watching still cat-sized dragons, and then the fourth season, now they're actual dragons, and then, like, we're working our way up there, and now, on this last season, was just dragons for days, right? So, I suppose you could get to a point where that's too many dragons. I'm just conjecturing.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I suppose that's true for the zombies, too, the White Walkers, right? Because we were, like, desperate to figure out what the hell was going on with them. Where are we going to see more? What's going on? And now they're just constantly there. And so a lot of the mystery kind of wore off.
That's an interesting point. So, because we usually are associating these kinds of things with, like, large, powerful, possibly villainous characters in books, like, or in the sense of, like, things that are bad, and their reason, part of the reason that they're bad is because they just have these, like, overbearing traits that you can't get over, right? Like, I can't get over the fact that Cersei's such an asshole. I can't get over the fact that the White Walkers just seem to be able to destroy everything. Like, these facts that you seem to have in your head about these characters, like, a story's own worst enemy could be its own allusion to certain things or overdoing it.
Yeah. And it's you got to have a little pinch of it. I think Harry Potter had some of that to me, too.
There's
some
of the, did you feel like Harry Potter had that kind of stuff? Are you still? Are you?
She's
okay. She's out.
I thought you were talking to
Kim. No. No.
Well, I don't know, because, like, Voldemort, it never felt like he couldn't be defeated. It was just, it was a fucking long process to do it. So it wasn't like.
Well, I'm trying to think if there was any trope that was fun at first and got overdone by the end.
I was thinking, like, Portkeys, but no. It's kind of cool. Like, maybe Butterbeer just being, like, everywhere and people, like, going to it, like, whoa.
I think it was the...
My penis is so small compared to that guy.
There's a bit of power creep. A little bit in that.
Well, it's the same thing with anime, right?
Like, yeah, it is. It suffered creep. The same problem. But not as severe as, like, Dragon Ball or any of those. But it just seems a little bit like when you save the world... I guess it didn't really save the world in the first one. It just saved the school.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's their world, I guess, but...
Yeah. Right, but then they started saving the world by book 5, right? Because they weren't just saving Britain at that point and protecting the ministry. They were, like, saving the fucking world at one point. It was like, where do you go from here?
That's actually a really good point. Like, a lot of TV shows suffer from that. Like, even, like, things like Supernatural.
Heroes...
Yeah.
Really got hit with that bad because the first season was so good and they saved the world and the whole story kind of fit together. And then they're like, all right, next season, they're like, wait, shit.
You know the ultimate version of that kind of creep? Die Hard. The first Die Hard was protect my wife and protect the building. The second one was an airport. The third one was the entire city of New York. The fourth one was the entire United States. And the fifth one was, I think, the world or, like, Russia or something.
There you go.
And, like, it just escalates up. Yeah, and
just jumped up.
I think they do it on purpose, but, like, it's really funny to kind of see it that
And that's
blatantly.
The problem is when you do it too fast, you're kind of hosed. Now, I have to admit, I never actually read the last Harry Potter book, and I still haven't seen the last Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know how it ends still, and I don't care. So
it's worth it. It's worth the listen.
I've heard that. I got about 2 chapters into the book, and I was starting to really lose interest. All the characters I still cared about kept dying, and I was like, I'm done. Because, like, when I first started reading that book, I guess I'm talking about Harry Potter now, like 20 years ago, back when it was cool, shit, I think that's almost close.
That's fine. Okay. You're old. You're old as fuck.
Yeah, no, I mean, that book's been around for a
long
time.
I got the Order of the Phoenix when I went to high school in Germany. So yeah. It's pretty old.
I mean, when it came out, I think I was...
When I went to Germany in high school, not high school.
Younger than Harry Potter.
Okay.
Himself, the character, when it came out, I think. So anyway, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter who.
Doesn't matter who. But I remember reading it, not right away. I read part of it, wasn't super interested. Then I got a little older, and then I got into it, read all of them, right? Cover to cover, not too long after they came out. Like, was keeping up. The last one, I got it. I read a couple chapters, and I just didn't care. Okay. When I was reading it, my favorite character in the beginning was Sirius Black.
Okay.
And then after that happened, I really liked Cedric. And and then it basically was every time a major character would die, it had been my favorite character up until that point.
Because you had to, like, pick again.
Yeah, because I kept, like, well, he's dead. And then I was like, oh, this guy's really cool. Oh, this guy, damn it. And so by the
end. Am I doing this?
Yeah, it's like, am I responsible for this? And I can't remember who it was that made me stop. I think it might have been Mad-Eye or someone. I don't remember. It was somewhere around there. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done picking characters. I'm done reading the stupid book.
It's interesting.
I put it down in college, and then at finals week or something, and then I don't even know where that book went. I probably still have it.
It's interesting because the book changed from being like a kind of like young adult book to more of a like, I don't know. It escalated.
Well, I mean, its readers grew up.
Yeah, no, that's good because like it went with its thing. I guess back to what I originally started with is Ready Player One. I had trouble in a different commentary on it besides the overdoing it thing. Was I had trouble figuring out if it was a teen book or not. And the reason I say that, and this is going to be really weird, so don't
watch
hate,
out, guys. It's
going
to get weird on SitSock.
Yeah, it's going to get weirder than... Well, I'm going to try to... Okay. Basically, the whole thing is all about avatars and how you never... like no, not a lot of people meet each other anymore. They only meet the avatars, right?
Yep.
They only meet in the Oasis.
Yep.
One of the things, like, the revolving themes is you never know people... until you've, like, met them in real life, and the juxtaposition of real life versus the virtual world and all that kind of stuff, right? It's pretty interesting.
Probably read this.
It's really short, so it's super...
Right up my alley.
It's 12 hours in audio, so it's not that bad. But, maybe longer, but anyway, it's not as long as fucking It, so that's the benchmark.
Few things are.
Like the game, like the Feast for Crows, maybe, or Dance of Dragons.
But, War and Peace.
So, one of the things that he... that way the main character does throughout the book is he's trying to like court this girl, but I kind of got the feeling that it was very similar to a neckbearding, like how a neckbeard would try to court a girl. It was
curious
kind of
hat tipping.
Maybe neckbeard is not the right way. It just seemed like he was like, do you remember any of those parts of the book, Amy, where he was like forcing himself to say things and he was being so just
inauthentic,
over the maybe not inauthentic, just over the top. It's like things that you say to someone and they're like, do you really mean that? Like, are you sure we just like met? Like you just said that and I'm not sure like if I'm comfortable with you saying that. And maybe it's my post Tumblr, mind that I'm thinking of this in, but he just seemed like he was very forward about all the stuff. And it would be things that you normally see making people uncomfortable today. People who would be like reacting, be like commenting on how what guys shouldn't be doing to nerd girls. And he's doing, like, checking every single one of those boxes. And I'm like, interesting.
So that's going to make for an interesting movie then. When was the book written?
2011, I think.
Really?
Maybe. Because they reference, like, things like that I would think would be around. They reference things that had to have been out in after 2000. And I don't know. I'm trying to... let's see.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Filling time with a song. That's
ugh,
what I do
this song
here.
Is terrible.
Can't really tap
originally,
this.
Yeah, originally published in 2011.
Okay, there we go.
It's only 385 pages.
Okay.
So, like, the reason I thought it was kind of a young adult book was because, from what I've read of young adult literature, it is very over romanticized, I guess, would be what I think. Because I think of like movies, and I'm like grand gestures and things like that, like. Doing that over-the-top stuff to get people to understand that you love them or you care about them, right? The stuff that doesn't actually happen in real life or doesn't work in real life, or, like, if you try it, comes off really weird if you're not with the right people or do it too soon or if you don't time it exactly perfectly.
Or you look like, what's his name, from that movie with the thing in it? Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Nope.
Okay. Which movie?
I've forgotten literally every element of it. I just know exactly what you're saying. Come
okay.
On.
So, like, that was something that made me lead...
John Cusack.
What?
John Cusack.
Pretty,
Stereo.
High Fidelity. That's not High Fidelity.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. It's creepy if the wrong person does it.
Yeah. Like, it's those grand gestures that actually tend to creep people out nowadays instead of actually make them feel like you care. Or,
it
just like...
depends on how hot you are.
Well, it also depends on how comfortable you are with that kind of thing. Like...
Yeah,
if you're
how hot you are.
Oh, I see. That makes so much more sense now.
The Harrison Ford rule.
That's true. Harrison Ford could do that even today.
Say anything.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
High Fidelity is the only movie I remember with John Cusack besides Gross Point Blank, because that is my favorite movie of all time, I think.
Good.
Now you know. It's an Easter egg hidden in this podcast.
I want to know why you thought that.
Because I think of books like Maze Runner.
I get your criteria. I'm just wondering why you thought that was weird. What part did you think was weird out of that?
It made me feel uncomfortable because of the things that I've heard today that made me stop doing that kind of stuff. So I used to do a lot of stuff like that.
I think we all did.
And it was something that had driven a lot of people away from me, and so it made me feel uncomfortable because of, like, my past. I was like, oh, shit, you're doing this stuff, and this is going to scare people away, and you're doing this stuff, and people don't like it. There's a few things. One of them was an internal monologue that happened from it. Another one was how society normally reacts to that stuff, and a third one was it just seemed like too much of the, like, the guy trying to get the geeky girl but doesn't really know how to get a girl type of thing. Like
the part where he's trying to get a girl
by,
like, that as a thing.
And maybe it was really because of the 80s reference stuff where he was like, all they were doing when they were talking was throwing down references left and right. And, like, it was just, I can't think. It's like he thought she had a check mark box for each of the things he needed to say to her. And he was checking those boxes by doing all this stuff. And they weren't on the same level. And it was kind of weird. It ended up being really good. Like, they cut out a lot of the heavy 80s reference stuff towards the end. Or sure. It's still there, but they don't, like, shove it down your throat. And
they ran out of references.
They actually kind of, you kind of understand later on that they've been hanging out for, like, a really long time, that they kind of skip over a lot in the middle.
Mm.
They've hung out for, like, a year or two, and they kind of make that period, like, a paragraph or, like, a chapter instead of throughout their whole book.
It's a frustrating thing to do.
And so it was very weird then, because you jump from them just meeting and starting to hang out to them, like, right towards the end of their, like, relationship one or whatever, and boom. Like, it's like, you're like, okay, wow, you're being really forward, and I'm not sure that that's something that makes me comfortable.
Right.
So that was why I thought it might be more of a team book, because things like, you know, even though you know, things like, what was that one, Divergent? Is that the one, Amy? That's a teen book, right? Divergent?
That is a teen book, okay. Yeah.
And of course, Twilight, like the stuff like that, where you have these really weird, non-real, like, teenage relationships that are just the best thing in the world. And if you actually, like, look at those relationships, like, as an adult, they're the most unhealthy thing that you could ever want in life. So, yeah. I really liked it, though, and I would suggest people reading it. And I thought the references to a point where it's kind of like a wave, where in the beginning it's really heavy, and then it kind of settles out to a nice kind of roll of things that you're like, oh, I got that, or, man, I want to look that up because that seems cool, or, oh, what is that? Is that real or not?
So. Huh. I may have to look into that.
I would definitely suggest it, because since it's not that long, you could easily finish it before the movie comes out. Mm. And you know, even if you waited a month.
It's true.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all you have to say about that?
Have you ever read a book where you felt uncomfortable with the way the characters were interacting?
Yeah.
And it made it feel, like, less real or maybe too real?
Yes.
Which one?
Trying to think again. I mean, I know that feeling. I used to read more. I don't read as much anymore. And I think the last, let's see, I think for me, it's less about the real and too real stuff as more as, like, how I react to the characters. Like, when a character does something that I can either relate to, for better or for worse, or it's so unrelatable that it pulls me out of the book. That's usually how I tend to remember those kinds of things, you know?
Okay.
So, like, what was the one I was, what, I'm trying to think of one now, and I'm just drawing a blank. I'm having a hard time keeping my brain going in one path here, but
Friday afternoon recordings are harder.
Well, and
it's been a day.
It's been a thing, and I keep saying that a lot in the podcast, but it keeps not getting better.
If you go back and, like, look at it, I wonder, like, how, you know, in Office Space when he says, every day is the worst day of my life, and so that means that, or so every day is worse than the last, which means that every day is the worst day of my life. Do you think that's what listening to the podcast is for people?
I think
they're
a little
like,
bit.
They're
a
like,
bit.
Wow, these guys' lives just suck. Like,
I'm just waiting to get out from under the gun on a lot of these things, and I was doing pretty good lately, but we missed the deadline again. So it just never ends.
It seems like there's always stuff going wrong too.
It is. There is, and there's a lot of it. A lot of it's our fault. A lot of it isn't.
But you're not here to listen about Kendrick's shitty job and how he's not good at it. How he basically is inadequate at most of the things he does.
Yeah, you hear that enough anyway.
From me.
From everybody.
But, yeah, so I guess Kendrick should listen to Ready Player One, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool, and it made me really want to go play some MMOs again, actually.
Actually, you know, I did relate too much to that Phoenix Project guy a couple times, because he keeps getting saddled with responsibilities but not the power to do it. And I'm reading it like, oh...
Because it, like, made you kind of like, wow, that's a little bit too real. Too real.
Too real. Too real. And it's that same way where he reacts to it in a way that I wouldn't, in a lot of ways. He's much more pragmatic and effective, and I'm more like, I think I'd probably grumble a lot more than this guy does. But, yeah, there are a couple of those moments. And I'm trying to remember, it was a book I read recently where that happened. I think it might have been the Devil You Know.
What's that?
The Evil You Know. What the fuck was that book? I swear. So I buy... Here's another problem is I buy the book on Audible. And then I put it in Audible. I download it. It's on there, right? And then I just hit play. I never look at the title of the book.
Yeah.
You know, when you physically pick it up, you look at the title constantly because you're always looking at it, right? I don't remember the names of books that I read
anymore. Don't you have to, like, select it, though?
No, because once I start playing it, I don't switch back and forth very much.
Oh,
I usually sit with one book and play it till the end. And I have a widget with a play button.
That's probably
so. All I do is I pull the widget up and hit play, and then it's in the notification bar, but I don't have to look at it. Whereas if I had to select it from the list or pick the book up physically, I'd be looking at it more.
Yeah.
So as a result, I often find myself like, what the hell was the name of that book I just read?
So kind of like with music?
Yeah, it's exactly like that, where you can't remember the name of the album because you bought it and then put it in your computer.
Yeah, I do that all the time. They'll be like, who's this artist? What's this song? And I'll be like, I don't know. I have it in my Spotify playlist. I hit play, and I never look at it again.
I've heard this song 217 times. I know every lyric, and I don't know what it's called or who sings it.
I can sing it from memory.
I think I'm still stuck in that realm where, like, when I'm like, oh, this song's really good, I go look at it because I like to put it on that little checklist. And you don't use Spotify, but I'm assuming Google Music has the same thing where, like, you favorite it or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I like to actively go favorite stuff, so I'm always like, what artist is this? And then usually it leads me to listening to the whole CD of that album because it's always worth a shot.
That is a little different. If I've listened to an entire album, then I know the artist a lot better.
You may die here, just as a heads up.
You're not going to die. It's you'll be fine.
I know, but I mean this guy.
In front of us?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's way past the time for recording, so
we
should probably stop. These people don't want to listen to us for this long.
Hammer time. how long is it?
I don't know. I can't fucking the seatbelt locked up in 27 minutes. That's okay,
right,
actually.
In the normal zone, yeah.
Well then,
a normal amount of time.
It felt like 50 years that it took us to get home.
It's because I wasn't talking as much.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I hate it. Don't let it happen again.
I'll try.
I'm sure everybody in the podcast hated it too.
I think I'm a little sick still, and I'm just take a little nappy nap right now.
So this might be our last podcast. We're going to a cesspool of infested sickness tonight, and so if we all die.
Well, then you probably won't hear this because I don't think I'll have time to edit it.
Well, then it'll be like long lost. Like someone will find it someday.
Listen to other four episodes.
Yeah, like the sit sock, the missing four.
Who would look for this?
Well, we hit 100, so we're in the Century Club.
It's
got to mean something. There's got to be some kind of like award they give out for hitting 100 podcasts that are regularly scheduled.
I mean, we've only missed 1 week, I think, out of all of them.
So suck that other podcast that stopped. Before 100.
We're too busy being cool.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you from our chair that says 100 on it.
Yeah, that we built.
For
ourselves. Because no
this
one would give
exist.
Them to us. Oh my god, yeah.
Dude, a lot of old people live here, and that's kind of why it's a nice neighborhood, but it's
also why
this.
It makes you want to die a little bit sometimes.
It would have been funnier if she just pulled over and let you pass.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine.
I always like when people do that, but I don't really know how to handle it when they look at me.
Punch it and flip it off.
Punch it, Chewy.
Punch it and just give them the finger as you go. I mean, that's what they're expecting, so you might as well just give them what
that's
they
true.
Want.
If you're, like, tailing them, they're just like, this asshole is
Yeah, that's because
so
no one ever pulls that over, like, oh, I believe this person would like to go faster than me. I suppose I'll pull over. They're more like, fuck this guy. And they pull over.
Fuck
and
these
they're
beans.
Mad at you. So you might as well be mad at them. I mean, it's what they're expecting.
Fact.
So on that note, what was the quote I put on Facebook the other day? You can't say anything without pissing somebody off, so you might as well flip everyone the bird. Kendrick Evans, 2017.
Titsock, 2017. Or 18, maybe. Yeah, who knows? All right, 18. Thanks everybody for listening. Like, comment, subscribe. Tell us how shitty we are.
Buy a shirt.
Yeah.